Welcome to Talking Hoosier Baseball. We are recording this on Wednesday, May 15th, 2024. I am Carl James, joined by Chris Feeney. The Indiana University baseball team competed hard in a tough road series, pitching really well, but fell short, dropping the series to Nebraska 2-1. Indiana took care of what was considered to be the hard part, managing to pull off a win on Friday. But Nebraska, you know, fought the whole time. You got to really, really love what Indiana pitching was able to accomplish the entire weekend. But the Nebraska pitching was right up there and held those Indiana bats at bay. So now Indiana's kind of facing a real daunting task here in this final series. But we will have one more look back at the weekend that was. Chris is going to hand out some hardware with the weekly red belts.
Yeah, Carl, it wasn't the way we wanted the weekend to go. I've always told people like a 3-1 game is really my favorite baseball game, a 4-3 game. And they were all that, right? They were all close, low scoring, competitive games. We had some clutch home runs, you know, DT leading them off and the big comeback in the ninth, ripping their guts out on Friday. I love that. But you know what? They did return the favor on Saturday. When that kid hit that bomb, that was not a good feeling. You know, it happens though, right? It's high pressure, high risk, high reward baseball. If you would have told me 6 weeks ago, I would have been that plugged in the second to the last weekend of the season. I would have told you were crazy. So, you know, you got to take the good with the bad. High risk, high reward. It was what it was. You mentioned it, man. The pitching was stellar. It really was. There was a lot of choices for the pitching red belt. And I didn't know which way to go, I'll be honest, because there were stretches where, you know, relievers were doing that thing. Starters were doing that thing. We just couldn't get the runs. We would get guys on base, but then two outs, we wouldn't get the hit, you know, and then the momentum would switch. There was really a ton of momentum switches in this series. It's great baseball, though, and hat tip to both teams. It was wild. But you know what? There's going to be a winner and a loser, and they played better, with two outs. Honestly, they pitch better with two outs and they hit better with two outs, and it is what it is. You got to execute. But somebody who did execute on the mound, Connor Foley, coming back off injury, right? You know, a lot of people, he missed a bunch of time. This is only his second series back. Two hits, eight strikeouts, and in the five innings. I know his pitch count was up, but you know what? He bulldogged it. He got through what he had to get through. And coming off Friday, it was like we weren't even going to let him score, you know? We ripped their heart out, and now I got Foley on the mound, and you're not even going to score, and we'll figure it out. And we didn't, but we had a shot, and Connor really pitched his ass off, and I'm grateful for it. And I don't know how many, you know, games we have with Connor on the mound. You know, we all know how this is going to work out. So the red belt absolutely goes to Connor Foley for the weekend in Nebraska. And, you know, he doubled down on it because the defensive red belt goes to Connor Foley. That play he made on the mound was crazy. Okay, the way he went to his right, he got to the ball, the way he had to just crow hop it. He crow hopped it like a kid in the six hole in shortstop. Makes the throw dead on accuracy. It was crazy. All right, there was people writing on Twitter like, this is the best play I've ever seen by a pitcher. And it didn't seem like hyperbole. It really didn't. It was an amazing play. Ryan Kraft picked the wrong week to make the play he made on the mound. That's all I can say. Because that one would have been an easy red belt. You know, he does this behind the back job, which obviously was luck. You know, it's pure luck. But it worked. And he did have the presence of mind to throw to third. Where a lot of times when you make a lucky play defensively, that next piece, you're just scrambled, right? Kraft wasn't scrambled. Made the throw to third. Boom, rundown. Got him. So I want to honorably mention him. Another guy who really picked the wrong week to make a good defensive play, really, two of them, was Carter Matheson. You know, I know Cass isn't here, and she usually points out the honorable mentions. This is why I'm doing it. He made two amazing plays to the wall, you know, to save runs, to save outs. It just wasn't enough, you know, because we did have some errors on the weekend, and the defense wasn't as crisp as we wanted it to be. But honorable mentions to Carter and Ryan, but that red belt goes to Connor Foley. He gets two in 1 week. Offensively, again, a lot of choices, right? We had some clutch home runs. Not enough clutch two out hits. I'll be the first one to say it. But there was, you know, down one home run, down one home run, down two home run. But to me, because momentum seemed to be the biggest part of this series, starting two games off with a leadoff home run was huge. Okay, DT, Devin Taylor, it comes down. Again, I don't know how many at-bats we have of Devin Taylor on this team for different reasons. And I'm grateful to see him in this lineup starting huge games off on the road with leadoff bombs. So Devin Taylor gets the offensive Alex Dickerson Award. Connor Foley takes the other two. I don't know how many times a pitcher has taken both. Maybe it's happened. Cass would have to look that up for me maybe next week. She's our stats person. But those are our three winners for the week. It was really a great series. You know, I commend the whole team. This is not an easy thing to play three tense, close ball games like that. Momentum is killer, man, and they did what they had to do, and Nebraska earned it 100%. Carl is going to really get a bigger, I think, macro look at the conference race now and the postseason picture going forward.
Yes, we've got 1 week to go in the Big Ten, and this is the craziest the standings have been since I've been following, for sure, and it is just absolutely nuts. Indiana comes into the last three games with the ability to be seeded anywhere from 1 to 8 in the Big Ten tournament and could mathematically not qualify for the Big Ten tournament. That's 9 out of 13 spaces that is a possibility with three games left to go. Only
we could literally finish 9th?
Yes.
So I didn't even realize that.
Yes. Yes. that is a mathematical possibility. For that to happen, first of all, Indiana would have to be swept by Michigan. Maryland would have to be swept. Maryland would have to sweep Penn State. Michigan State would have to sweep Nebraska, and Ohio State would have to sweep Rutgers. If all four of those,
there's a chance, is crazy. That obviously doesn't seem too feasible, but the fact that that's even possible, that we could win a title or finish 9th, is nuts.
Yeah, because I actually went through the process of, okay, well, if all four of those things happened, which is saying all four of them would have to happen, and that would end up basically with a four-way tie for 6th. And the tiebreakers in that situation end up with Indiana at the bottom end of that tiebreaker, and then would miss the tournament. So
how
that's
many
why,
games did you see, how many games to win this weekend to clinch getting in the tournament?
Again, as I said, all those have to be sweeps. So if
even
Indiana,
one of our wins gets us in,
or a Maryland loss, a Michigan State loss, or an Ohio State loss.
Okay. I was anything. That
yeah,
would
on Thursday, all the any one of those four things would clinch a berth for Indiana. So again, it's just one of those things that it's astronomical, the odds that would have to happen in order for that scenario to come into play, but it is a mathematical possibility, so I have to mention it. You know, in the standings, you have Illinois is up two games now on Indiana, and they are up one game on Nebraska, who's in firm command of second place now. So Illinois and Nebraska are right up on top. Third is a three-way tie, with Indiana currently taking the tiebreaker at third, Purdue at fourth, Michigan at fifth, all at 13-8, and two games back of Illinois. Iowa is the bye team, so they are done. They've played all their Big Ten games. They are 14-10, which is another thing that's interesting. So Iowa is sixth in the conference right now, and they have actually clinched a berth, while teams three, four, and five haven't.
Terrible job by the Big Ten, by the way. Everybody knew Iowa was going to be good. How do you have them on the bye on the last week? That's just irresponsible.
Yeah. Michigan State is tied for seventh with Maryland and Ohio State. At present, Ohio State is the odd man out. They're the 9-hole team with the tiebreaker system. Only a game back of that group are two more, 10th and 11th, Minnesota and Penn State. And Minnesota's been on a tear lately. They're wanting to send out head coach John Anderson into retirement on a very positive note. They definitely did it at home this past weekend, and they're going to try to do it on the road now, too. And then there are two teams that are now done. Rutgers and Northwestern are both eliminated from the conference championship and eliminated from the Big Ten tournament. They are the only two that have been eliminated. So all the way,
crazy.
There are three teams below the line right now that are not, that are still competing for a slot. And it's not like they're only a game behind. You've got five teams all bunched up for the last two spots. So.
And after what we did last year, coming in as the 8 seed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, just get in.
Yeah.
Just get in, knock out the 1 seed, you become the 1 seed,
mm-hmm.
and then it's anything's possible.
Yep.
So if I'm, you know, obviously we're low, I'd say we're middle of the standings right now or whatever, high, you know, middle high. But even if I'm a team that's down at the bottom, just get in. We proved that. We proved more than once. What was that, 2 years ago, Maryland? Obviously not last year. We've proved it before that it doesn't matter. You see, when you get out there, that whole thing is funky, man. You don't know the stadium. It's like empty. And then you got to use all your pitches. I feel like it's all even, honestly. It's just eight teams playing for a title. The seeds just decide to play each other.
Yeah, plus this year, how tight everybody is.
Yes, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's like hockey, basically. Big Ten baseball is like hockey this year.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, and the other piece is the Big Ten tournament is there. A lot of the conference tournaments, there is advantages you get. They're either byes or they're like the ACC does with these funky pods and things where there are built-in advantages to the higher seeded teams.
Mm-hmm.
This is just 8-team double elimination tournament.
Right.
Very
That's what I'm
basic.
Saying. It's
straight
up.
Everyone starts at a level playing field. So.
And now we don't even reseed, right? We don't even do that crisscross nonsense.
Nope. Nope, you stay.
You literally become the seed you beat,
mm-hmm.
and that's huge.
Yeah. There's arguments to be made that, you know, like if I were to say, you know, someone were to pin me, like, who do you not want to face right off the bat? Right now, I would say Iowa, and that's really just because they're on a bye and they can they don't have, and they're 92 in the RPI, so they are not in the at large picture whatsoever.
But that's what I'm saying. The Big Ten needs to be held accountable for having Iowa on the bye.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Iowa has the opportunity to completely set up
that's
their starting
garbage.
Pitching, which is their strength, is their starting
and they
pitching.
Shouldn't. They should. I'm not saying they shouldn't be happy about it.
Yeah.
It's not their fault. They didn't ask for it. It happened that way.
Yeah.
But how you don't have, like, I don't know, somebody, I don't want to put any other team down, but a team that, I mean, Iowa was picked number one.
Yeah.
They were picked to win, and you got them on the bye. It's garbage.
Yeah. So that's the Big Ten. And obviously Indiana's got Michigan, and the teams are tied in the league. So it's pretty crazy. Now I'm kind of taking a look at the at large picture. Indiana really, really needed to have won that Nebraska series. Losing the Nebraska series really takes a sting. It's not elimination territory, but it's on the wrong side of the bubble. Baseball America still has Indiana in as one of the last teams in. D1 baseball doesn't have even Indiana as one of the last teams out, but at the same time, they say that Indiana still can play themselves in. So what does this look like? Well, it's really confusing. This is one of the craziest bubbles I have seen since I've been following this. And the reason it's crazy deals with just how many teams are underwater in conference. It's just crazy. There's just a ton of them. It's a possibility that there will be four teams that finish 12 and 18 in the SEC. The Big Ten is seeing this too. Maryland is 35 in the RPI, and they're 10 and 11 in the league. Now, Maryland has Penn State, so you think they're going to climb out of that. But, You know, if Maryland, even just winning the series, going 2-1, they're just going to be 12-12 in the league. And if Maryland doesn't make the Big Ten tournament, they're done. They won't. You know, the doesn't matter what their RPI is. The league is the NCAA won't bring in a Big Ten team that doesn't get to their conference tournament. So there's a lot of things to look at in some of these bigger conferences. Now there are some things that are pretty standard, which is looking at the potential for stolen bids. It's really important if you are being a bubble team to want the stolen bids to be small. If you go to iubase.com and read my resume analysis pre-Michigan series, I include how I've come up with my calculation for how many stolen bids there are likely to be. I have it at 3.7 stolen bids. I will continue to update that as the next week and a half progresses, because this will change a lot once conference tournaments start, because then it'll be like, okay, well, if, you know, for example, if Indiana State stays in the winner's bracket, the likelihood of a Missouri Valley stolen bid will go down. If Indiana State gets upset early, that possibility goes up. Big West might be decided early because it's not a tournament, and the current leader has a 2-game lead, so they could possibly clinch this weekend. Is a possibility.
Who's that called?
Santa Barbara.
So we should be rooting for them big.
Yes,
Santa Barbara. All right.
You know, and so there's several of these leagues that are, I mean, but one of the interesting ones that has a real chance of being stolen is the Pac-12. They've only got 3 teams that are locks for the tournaments, and they have no teams on the bubble. Pac-12 only has 3 teams. Three teams are going to get in, period. And everybody else is going to have to try to win that tournament to get in.
Who are they?
I don't have that actually listed here. I just have the numbers because I was.
We'll throw that on the site then, because if you think about it, those are the 3 you just have to root for in the last Pac-12 baseball tournament they'll ever be.
Yeah.
Yes. You need one of those 3 to win.
Yep.
Okay.
You know, the Big Ten is another one. I mean, Big Ten is often stolen.
Yes. But I feel like it always is.
Yeah, it almost seems to always be. It wasn't last year.
No, Iowa. Yeah.
No, Maryland.
Oh, Maryland won. My fault.
Yeah, they were the 1 seed and they won the tournament. So you haven't seen that a ton, but you've seen it some. But Nebraska is the only firm team from the Big Ten in, but the Big Ten also has 4 teams on the bubble. So, yes. And that's one of those weird things that if one of those 4 teams win the tournament, which includes Indiana, the act of doing that, of winning the tournament, would make them a team that would get an at-large bid.
Right.
So it's kind of weird. That's one of those weird, it's kind of stolen, but it's kind of not stolen if one of those teams wins the tournament. So we'll see how that progresses.
It's fun to be alive, Carl. That's all I want to say.
But here's one of the interesting things. Right now, the Big East could be a 3-bid league, which is an interesting, you know, turn of events.
Who's that? Xavier, UConn?
Xavier is the top of that, but yeah, UConn's one of those. I forgot.
Who's the third one?
I think it's Creighton.
Oh, yeah. Oh, because Creighton won so many games against Nebraska.
Yep.
They play Nebraska like 3 midweeks. They beat them every time.
Yep.
Oh, no.
So I also looked at...
Wait, so then those are 3 we got to look at. We need one of those 3 to win the Big East.
Yes.
Okay. Creighton, UConn, or Xavier?
Yeah, I will have all of the once we get to conference tournaments next week. I'll have the this in a lot more detail as far as the stolen bid watch goes.
I like to keep it simple. I write down teams that you say we've been doing this for so many years.
Yeah,
I write down teams that you say to root for, bro. I remember years ago,
well,
some weird team like out west. You were like, listen, they gotta win. The game starts at 10:30.
Well, I think that was really about the resume. It was about the resume. It was about getting into the right quads.
Because if they had more wins, our win against them was better. Yes.
Would look better. Yeah.
What team was that? I can't remember.
It was somebody in California, but I don't remember who it was.
No, it was a West Coast team, but I remember you were like, you got to watch them.
Well, I remember we were, my family was at the drive-in, the Starlight drive-in. And it's like midnight, And of course, it's they're in the Pacific, and I'm like in between movies. I'm like pulling up the scores, trying to figure out who won this game at midnight.
Listen, I was looking for it on ESPN Plus the minute you told me.
Yeah.
Oh my man, who was that team? We're gonna have to think of it later.
Yep, we'll dig that up. There
Yeah.
was one other thing I wanted to look up here though, real quick.
That was like 2017 or something crazy. 2018. It was something, it was like weird.
But if you want something to look at from a what can you root this week,
Yeah.
I'm going to give you something that is the biggest piece of what to look, because the best opportunity Indiana has to sneak into this thing is for some teams to get bumped. Teams that have RPIs that should get them into the tournament, for those teams to get bumped.
Well, you just mentioned Maryland. I heard that one.
Right. So if Maryland, yeah, Maryland, if Maryland could lose the series to Penn State,
Huge.
that opens up a whole slot.
Because you said they were 35.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so the series to watch is Ole Miss LSU.
Oh, come So. We got a huge SEC series that's going to affect us.
Yes.
All
Ole
right.
Miss is 24th in the RPI. LSU is 35th in the RPI. Ole Miss is at 11-16 in the SEC. LSU is 10-17.
Please tell me we have to root for LSU because I just already want to root for them.
Right. But specifically, we want LSU to win the series 2-1.
2-1. Okay.
Yes, you still want Ole Miss to take a game.
Two to one. It's like an intense parlay. I got you.
Because what you want is you want both those teams to finish 12-18 in the SEC.
No sweep.
Right. Because if either team sweeps, they will clearly knock the other team out. They'll knock one team out, but the other team will get in. At 12-18, there's a good chance that both get bumped.
Ooh, all right. 2-1 LSU. These games are at the box?
I think so,
I
yes.
hope so. If we need LSU 2-1.
I am pretty sure, yes. I'm pretty sure these are at Alex Box Stadium. Let me make
I really don't know. I'm
absolutely
just
verify.
hoping, like I'm trying to give the
Yes,
vibe.
they are at Alex Box Stadium
Yes.
in Baton Rouge.
And we know that is a legit home field advantage.
Yes. Not that Ole Miss isn't, but
What I'm saying, it's not like playing, it's not like Ole
Auburn.
Miss is right. Thank you. No, I know it seems weird, but LSU, like some of the SECs aren't the SEC.
Yeah.
LSU, forget about it.
Yep. So somebody else you want to root against
Yep.
is Florida.
Okay. Oh, you mentioned that. Yep. Oh, I've been rooting against them. You
Yep.
told me that last week.
Yep. And Florida, in fact, they're only at 26-25 overall. If they lose their series this weekend and they are at Georgia, so that's actually a likelihood. This is what happens. Now they would end up because they're currently one game.
Georgia has that guy who's hitting all the bombs, don't they?
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
Condone? How do you say it? Condone? Condon?
Condon.
Condon.
Yeah. But Gators are one game over 500 overall. And now this is important because this is actually a written rule. The SEC 12-13 game is sort of just a traditional thing that the committee has done, and they could change that. It could be that, and this is one of the things I admit, it could be that both those teams go 12-18, and the committee is like, we don't care. We'll go ahead and let them in now. They could change how they do it. But the Florida situation is about their overall record. And there is a rule that if you're below 500 overall, you are not eligible for an at-large bid. So this is what happens. If Florida were to lose the series 1-2, they would finish the regular season 500. Then they get into the SEC tournament. The way the SEC tournament works is it starts with a single elimination for all but the top four teams. So it's if you win, you get into the double elimination. If you lose, you're done. So if you lose, if
Out.
SEC, they're out. So they're at one. But if they win, this is the thing, they then have to win another because if they lost two games, they then get under 500. So Florida would actually have to win two in Hoover just to get to 500. if they lose this series. So, and I'll tell you that the pundits I listened to are all saying, yeah, we don't expect Florida to end. And it was really interesting because there was a real question, because they didn't have a midweek this week. There was a lot of the pundits that were saying these guys need to go find like the worst Division One team and play them in a midweek because they had open games. It was like,
Just to
well,
get a win.
it's like the opposite of the whole, canceling games to improve the
Yeah.
RPI. It's like
Of course.
go schedule a chump to get another win.
Yeah. Go get a cupcake. Get an Alabama football when they would play some cupcake.
Right. But the
I'll tell
problem
you.
is
Oh,
Florida
no, go ahead.
has no midweek pitching. And that's a big thing. And they decided that it was
Oh.
like it didn't matter who they scheduled, they could possibly get beat by them. So
Yeah, well, we know about that, Carl. I tell you, Pete Alonso and Harrison Bader on the Mets are going to be upset because we're rooting against Florida. All the Met fan, I'm going to get all the Met fans to root against Florida this week.
But let me take a look at one other conference in case there might be another opportunity here. I mean, there's a lot of different opportunities, but I said those are the big ones. It's just the SEC one is fascinating. And of course, again, if you've got access to SEC Network or SEC Extra, you might be able to actually catch some of those games.
Even if you just, scoreboard watch as you're keeping
Yep.
up with whatever you're doing. I'm still trying to figure out who that team was, Carl. I'm looking up West Coast baseball teams. I feel like it started with a D, the name of the school. I don't.
It was Gonzaga.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah,
Gonzaga.
and it's interesting because Gonzaga is going to be mentioned later in this
I don't know
podcast.
why I thought it started with a D, but it was Gonzaga.
So let me see here. I mean, the
That
Big
was
12
so
is
random.
the
That
Big 12
was
is
like on
in.
the Facebook days when we would just put this stuff on the Facebook group.
Yep.
Oh, man.
So I did want to look at the ACC real quick because I didn't remember if there was any of these situations in the ACC. Well, and
I can say Duke is in.
this will be easy for for Indiana fans root against Louisville. They're
Oh,
playing
there you go.
Notre. They're playing against. They're playing Notre Dame. They're playing Notre Dame at home. Probably not going to go the way Indiana fans want, but it's a possibility. Maybe Notre Dame has one series in them.
And
So,
maybe you live in southern Indiana, you go over the bridge and you root for Notre Dame. They
yep.
probably root for Notre Dame football anyway. Nobody roots for IU football. I get out here. I love football. I'm a Jets fan. I go to these IU football games. I meet all these IU fans and they go, oh, no, I root for Notre Dame football. I go, oh, what do you mean? They say I'm IU basketball, but Notre Dame football. What is that? So this will work out perfect for the southern Indiana person who's used to rooting for Notre Dame halfway. Oh no.
Yeah, so that's one. And other than that, I really don't see anything that's yeah, that's because the teams that are bad are bad. So
Hey, we got some good ones here, though. We got the
yep.
2-1 parlay, the LSU Ole Miss. Now, you mentioned 2-1 Georgia. Could it be a Georgia sweep? Or does it have to be 2-1 Georgia?
No, that could be a sweep.
That could
Yep.
be a sweep. Okay.
Yes, a
So
sweep
just
makes
Georgia
it.
wins the
Sweep
series.
makes it almost mathematical. So,
Oh, I love it. All right. So Georgia wins the series. We need the 2-1 LSU Ole Miss. Obviously, we want Maryland to lose. And then we have the West Coast baseball Santa Barbara. Got it.
Okay. So when I went through my calcs, I said I had there were 3.7 that I calculated as steals. I calculated 5.3 teams that have an RPI, and I'm pointing 5.3 teams that I think are what I call bumpable teams that Indiana could take their slot if those teams are ahead of IU in the RPI. But there are also 2.2 teams that I feel have resumes that could bump IU if their RPIs ended up worse than IU's. Once I put all of that into a spreadsheet, I came down to the target RPI rank for Indiana right now is 51. That's the one the RPI rank Indiana wants to hit. Sweeping Michigan alone will not do it. That'll get somewhere to like 52, 53. So then it's going to require a decent week in Omaha. Now it's weird because I sit there saying, well, a sweep barely did it. The thing about the conference tournaments is Everybody in the country is losing games in conference tournaments, particularly teams in the bubble range, because they're double elimination tournaments. So it's they're designed to give everybody two losses. So with that, it's really a matter, the losses aren't really important. It's how many wins can you acquire in that process. Because then the alternative then is to win the whole tournament, in which all of this doesn't matter because you get the automatic bid if you win the tournament.
That's the
So,
twofer.
yeah. So, right now, again, and I'm going to adjust this and I'm going to keep changing. What is that target? Right now, that target's 51. I don't expect it to move a ton because, again, I've done this to where I was like, it's not like, well, I'm going to pick which conferences I think are going to be stolen bids. No, I said, if it's a one bid league, I'm gonna say it's a coin flip as to whether the league gets, and then I basically just added the numbers up, and that's why I have, even though I'm like talking about the number of stolen bids, I have it as 3.7. Well, it's going to be a whole number when all of this is done. It's going to be 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever it is. But right now, I have the odd number, the odds coming in at like 3.7. So we'll see how that is, and I'll try to keep those numbers up on the site. Particularly next week as we get through conference tournament season. All right, but there's more details. So please, I spent some time on this last night. Go to the resume analysis pre-Michigan series article on iubase.com. All right, so we've gone through red belts. We've gone through the bracketology piece. And now we are going to take a look at the series that starts tomorrow at the BART against Michigan. Take it away, Chris.
I mean, who would have thought Tracy Smith would be back at the BART, but in the other dugout? It's ironic because the last time he was here, he was in that dugout. So he'll return to the dugout he left, but in different colors. I was only here for 1 year. That was my 1 year living here. You know, 13, I was still back in New York. My brother was like, "You got to get into this." You know, da 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 da. Little did I know I'd move here. You know, and it was a hell of a season. It didn't end the way we wanted. Tracy obviously moved on to Arizona State, which how do you not? Again, no problem with that. It was kind of like the limo move to Mississippi State. Kind of hard to turn that down. But Tracy will return to the dugout that he had left on the last time he was here, which is pretty wild. Joey Donato won't be in the bullpen where he was when he left. But, you know, that's just going to be the way this is. So we have played Tracy Smith's Michigan team before. That was in the Big Ten last year. They beat us 13-6 in the Big Ten tournament. They were up 6-0. They were up 7-1. We got it to 10-6, but it was really never close. So, you know, Skip got the first one. But these three, honestly, are a little more important. Because I kind of remember starting that Big Ten tournament knowing we were going to dance in the big tournament already, if I remember. And this one, we don't. You just heard us talking about it. So these are more important. Michigan Wolverines are 29 and 24. They've won three in a row. They won the last two against Purdue, and they just beat Akron. They run-ruled them. Let's see. They're 8-2 on the road. Right now, the schedule is Thursday, 5 p.m. on the network, BTN, Friday, 6 p.m. on the stream, and Saturday, 2 p.m. on the stream. But there's a lot of rain in the area. You know, if you listen to this, I don't know when you are or watching, but just you gotta, what I just told you might not really mean too much. So you gotta go to at Indiana Base or us at, you know, IU Base 17. Just get online and find out. They're gonna post it. We're gonna post it. It's gonna change. So just you know, come on. It's 2024. Use your phone. Common opponents. Let's see. They played Coastal. They got swept there March 8th to the 10th. Let's see. They won a series at Penn State. They won a series at Maryland. I mean, that was home. They won a series at home against Minnesota, and they won a series at Purdue. Again, you know, it's a quick one. It's a quick preview. The Friday starter is Kurt Barr. He's 5-3. He's just got a 3.5 ERA. Saturday is Chase Allen. He's got a 6.5 ERA. He's 3-2. Sunday is Dylan Vieg. He's got a 7.5 ERA. He's 2-3. The pitching really doesn't wow you. It really doesn't. You know, I'm not going to pretend it doesn't. Obviously, they have a good coach. You know, he knows what he's doing. There's going to be some extra I would think, go get him and his team, knowing that they're playing at the BART. So let's not really ignore that factor. Big bats to look out for, Steven Rustish and Mitch Voit. Okay, if you look at their players, two guys, okay, only two have over 80 total bases, just over 80. And the Rustish guy has 119. He's hitting 314 and 15 home runs. He's the two-hitter. Then the Mitch Voit has 116 total bases, and he's hitting 292. So the 2-3, like every time it comes around, pay attention because these are the guys we got to focus on. The disparity between total bases is huge. Can't remember the last time I saw something like this. They're obviously, these two guys are the heartbeat of the offense. They're the engine. No one on the team even has 10 steals. Mac Timbrock is hitting 320. He does have 9 steals. So they're not a running team. But remember, neither we were, right? When we were Tracy. It's just not his thing, I guess. So they're obviously coached by Tracy Smith. He's been coaching ball for 25 years in Division One. This I didn't know as I did a little, internet research. He's one of only 8 coaches to take 3 teams to the NCAA tournament. I would have thought there would have been more, the way coaches kind of start when one go and they go to the middle and then they go to the SEC. But only 8 have done it. So Miami of Ohio for Skip, IU, and obviously Arizona State, pretty impressive. They have an assistant coach out of Terre Haute. I'll just leave that there. And, it's going to be intense, all right? There's going to be some bad blood. There's just going to be things that are going to be happening. I don't know how this is going to play out. But, it's another high risk, high reward. Carl talked about it. This isn't something that's just – I mean, look at it. He just told you. You could finish first in a tie or you could not go to the tournament. So I'm sure Michigan's situation is pretty similar. It seems like the whole damn conference doesn't know where they're going to fall. So every game's going to be important. And this team is good, right? They're 29-24. Do we have 30 wins? I don't think we have 30 wins yet. So we're right there with them. It's not like we're playing this, lower than team. And then you throw in the rivalry, which I believe the last time we did end their season that day, didn't we? When we walked off that Big Ten tournament at the BART with Krupa, I believe that ended
their season. Yeah, that was an elimination game. Yep.
Right? It was. So we've ended their season on this field before. And I wouldn't mind doing it again, honestly. But it's, what are we going to do? Are we going to play another 4-3, 5-4, 4-3 game? I don't know. Is the weather going to be funky? Are we going to have a starter go out there and then the weather happens and we can't use him again? I mean, I would think everybody's hands on deck. And it's not going to be the prettiest situation. I'm going to be honest with you. This thing's going to be sloppy. The rain is all over the place. It's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, right? So you got pitching coming on early that they're not used to. This thing really, it could be funky. And just be prepared for it. And as far as the times and the dates, jump online, use your phone, use the internet, go to the Facebook group. We'll make sure we put it on the Facebook group because I know a lot of people use that, are using computers and maybe not their phone. We'll do our best to get it all out there. There's also been, from what I understand, a possibility that the seniors aren't even announced on Friday as planned if the weather sucks. They might give them their honor on Saturday, okay? So even that you have to keep track of. There is fireworks planned Friday night. Those can't happen if it's raining. There's a tip. You can't do fireworks in the rain. As I'm talking about the senior days, though, we got some people that we're going to honor. You know, it's a special, what do you call it, a half hour, right? Pretty much, Carl, they do it before the game at least. Maybe about 20 minutes.
20 minutes, yeah.
Is it 20 minutes? So whatever start time they give on whatever day they say they're going to do it, get in there early and give these guys, their respect and their honor. And, we got, what is it? It's about 6-8 guys, right, Carl, that are going to be honored on the field on senior day. And for the first one that Carl's, we're going to spend some time talking about each one of them. And the first one's going to be Sam Morrison out of Florida, and Carl's going to take that one.
Yes. Thank you, Chris. Yes. Sam Morrison, 4-year member of the program from Boca Raton, Florida. He was part of last year's famous hands team, that outfield defensive group that came in and it's seemingly every ninth inning because this team just seemed to always be have a slight lead there going into the ninth. And Sam has been cited multiple times by Jeff Mercer as one of the best outfielders that has ever played for him from a defensive perspective. This season has had a more established outfield, so Sam hasn't seen quite as much action. However, on March 26th, against Middle Tennessee, he took advantage of his one plate appearance so far this season and smacked a solo home run. So he is one for one. He's been hit by a pitch, so he has a 1,000 on base percentage and a 4,000 slugging percentage, which means his OPS is 5,000.
Love it.
He has pinch ran multiple times this season, and he has scored 5 runs. So he's gone one for one and scored 5 runs. So again, four-year member of the program. He's one of those guys. He's been a fixture with the program. He's done what's been asked. Done great work in the fall, and of course, just been with them the whole ride, and has been an exceptional member of the team. Okay, at this point, I will pass it back to Chris to talk about Morgan Colopy.
And I got another hands team member, Carl. I got another hands team right fielder, Morgan Colopy. There was a lot put on his shoulders the minute he got it, I'll be honestly. Well, on his back. They gave him number 10, which I couldn't believe. I said, we're giving out number 10? But you know what? If Morgan Colopy stands in front of you and wants number 10, you give him number 10. The guy's a damn football player. I remember being like a little upset that I couldn't root for him for IU football as a tight end or a linebacker because this guy was a beast on the field. And I was like, wait a second. Why can't he do both? The timing seemed to work. I wanted him out there to help the Hoosiers on the gridiron. But he was actually drafted by the San Francisco Giants in the 34th round out of Centerville, Ohio. He decided to go to Cincinnati to start his college career. Then he transferred over to us. And as an IU debut in 2021, ironically, it was in a football stadium. He hit a home run on his college debut at US Bank Stadium in Minnesota. So maybe there was some football reference there. I don't know. You know, if you're going to hit a bomb in your debut, let it be where the Vikings play. I don't know. Freshman, all big freshman of the year for that year. He also won a big, big player of the week award, big freshman of the week award. But I got to tell you, my favorite memory, not only, you know, the guy hit bombs. We know he does. He's hit, 13 home runs in his career as a Hoosier. I'm expecting maybe at least one more this weekend. They might sneak him in there. He's got 61 RBIs on his career. But to me, and I would think for anybody, the number one home run was the Iowa walk-off job. You know, Matheson gets a hit, and Colopy comes up and bangs one off the foul pole. It was just, Kraft and Luke threw 10 shutout innings to get us there. One of my favorite games of the bar. It really was, top five. I'll put it there. Really a fun day. It was the first time I realized we had the damn home run chain. We learned a little more about it later, but I didn't even know we had it until Calipi was wearing it during the celebration. So, he even hit two triples. He's hit two triples. Maybe we'll get another triple. But come on, Mo. That's what the guys seem to call him is Mo. Mo hit another triple and another bomb here this weekend. Something I also want to point out, he's played in the field, in right field, predominantly, basically all the time, for 4 seasons. He has 4 errors. 4. Okay? Coach puts him out there at the end of the game as the hands team, like Carl talked about. He's solid. I was actually a little surprised by this because he only has 3 assists. I thought he'd have more. I feel like he's hosed a couple guys out more than that. But, I guess they track these things, and there was only 3 assists. But what I can tell you, a lot more than 3 guys haven't run on Morgan Colopy. Okay? So maybe you didn't throw him out, but he sat there on second base and didn't go because of you. So that's also, that's the game inside the game that you don't think about, and that doesn't go up on a stat board. So Morgan Colopy, we're going to honor him. The 13 home runs, like I said, the 61 RBIs. And hey, I even ran into him at Gable's Bagels. So the man knows a good bagel, it basically goes like that. I was glad when I was asked to you know, kind of put together the stuff for Morgan. He's been a pleasure to watch, but I still kind of wish he played football for us, but he didn't. You know, what can you do? The next guy we're going to talk about is Tyra Barchick, and Carl's going to take that one.
Yes, Tyra Barchick from Spring Valley, Illinois, a grad transfer this season from the University of Illinois. You know, was it thought to be last year competing for a weekend rotation spot in his senior year with the Illini before his season ended very early and he needed Tommy John surgery. So Rabarchek, recovered from the surgery, transferred to IU, and he started throwing in games for the Hoosiers this year in March. And he just worked his way back through multiple starts and then basically kind of settled in as a Sunday starter for Indiana in Big Ten play. Ty has been a guy that coaches really like to go to open games. And I've really heard two major things that they talk about. He throws strikes. And he manages that running game, doesn't get rattled, doesn't let a tough inning snowball and turn into a disaster, which was something that has been a problem with some of the others in the pitching staff this year. It's not something that Ty's really let happen. This season, he's tossed 21 innings, striking out 25 while only walking 7. And he has a 2-2 record as a Hoosier. All right, we have a guest we're going to bring in via recording, IU team chaplain, Mark Bennett. He's got some words that he recorded earlier on one of the other grad transfers, Drew Burr, senior manager, Nate Ball. And he also talks about graduate student Ty Bothwell, who is not going to be part of the senior day celebration. This is obviously his last season. You figure at some point it has to happen. After, however many years, 5, 6, 7, whatever it happens to be, this is Ty Bothwell's last season. But he did have a senior celebration last year, so that's why he won't be specifically honored.
Four more years. Hey, I'll take four more time, bro.
But yeah, that's got to stop at some point. But we've got Mark Bennett, and he is, and we're going to play his recording here in just a second.
Yes, I'd like to talk a little bit about Drew Burr. First year he's been at IU, and of course he was at Bellarmine before. And I tell you, some of these young men are just good character quality individuals. I believe that's what we're seeing the coaching staff recruit. They have Drew Burr, for instance. He's just a fine young man. He's a very sincere. He has a good heart. He cares about people. He's a dogged, determined guy when he's out there on the mound, as we've witnessed. But I get to interact with these guys in a Bible study. Jeff Mercer Sr. and I conduct a Bible study, and we talk about, biblical things and try to use examples from the Bible as to how we should live our lives and act and so forth. And then Jeff also, of course, a successful businessman. He's, I call him the father of baseball here in Indiana because of his, beginning the structured teaching methods. Wrote the book with Dusty Baker. He's talked hitting throughout the country. And so he can bring a lot of, and was a successful businessman, school administrator for years. And so he can talk about, those types of characteristics that will help them, the boys in life. But we talk about leadership and character qualities and so forth. And I'll tell you what, I'm very impressed with the boys that we have. Again, Drew has great insights, very faithful. These guys have baseball's a full-time job for them. Plus they have school. And for them to take a week out, a night out, we usually meet on Monday nights for an hour. And for them to take time out and do that, their determination to do that, their faithfulness is just very inspiring to me. I don't know if Drew missed the night. And, some guys can make it and some guys can't. We say come if you can, and, you can't get into their schedule to where it suits everyone because they have projects, school projects, and so forth. So, but I don't think Drew missed a single one. He's there every single night. They're attentive, all of them, and I hate to single out one person, but we're talking about the seniors now, and so I can single them out. This applies to many of them. I can talk a little bit about Ty Bothwell. I think we've been doing this for 3 years now, and I'm not sure Ty's missed three meetings. I mean, that's just incredible to find the time and to have the wherewithal and the determination to go ahead and meet with us. And so my hat's off to those guys. Another boy, man, I should say boys, man, I'd like to talk about is Nate Ball. Nate determined that he wasn't going to continue in his baseball career. He's going to go in a different direction. And I tell you what, his insights into life, into the scriptures, into Bible work is just remarkable for a young man his age. It's remarkable. And I look at these guys, and again, I'll go back and say this is the coaching staff. This is what they're recruiting. They're recruiting quality man, good character, integrity. You can look across the board there, and you can say these guys have had good parents, had good upbringing, and they're exhibiting that. I watch, you know, a lot of baseball like you guys do, and well, I could give some examples. I won't, but you see kids showing up the umpires and getting kicked out of games even at the college level and so forth. And boy, you don't see that out of our men. You don't see that. They're better than I would be. You know, some of the calls they get, and they roll their eyes a little bit and slump their shoulders a little bit when they get that third strike call. But, hey, they conduct themselves very well. And, again, that goes to both their upbringing, the kind of individuals they are, and what a coaching staff is doing, creating an environment, a culture that, it's about baseball, one and baseball, but they're preparing men for the future. And that's what we try to do in our meetings each week is give them a good foundation. I tell them the first week, I said, guys, there's two things that I think are important. That's one, that you have a good foundation. You know, a house won't stand unless it has a good foundation. Nothing stands. A good business won't stand unless it has a good foundation. And where are you going to get your foundation? That's the key to your success. Where are you going to get that? And then the other thing is the truth. Where are you going to find the truth? What is truth? What is the real truth? And I believe that both those two things are found in God's word. That's what we try to impress on them, which hopefully is important to them on the field, in the locker room, in the classroom, with their families. And then as they go on, I hope every one of them achieve their baseball dreams. But even if they do, there's life after baseball. And we're hoping that in a small way we can contribute to their success in life. But now it has just been an absolute pleasure to have Drew Burr. You'd want, if you have a boy, you'd want one just like him. And I could that for a lot of those boys, Ty and Nate as well. Since we're talking about these guys, I know Ty's already had his senior recognition, but these are fine young men, and it has been a pleasure for Jeff and I to work with them, and I wish them nothing but the best and success in the future, and I look forward to continuing in relationship with many of the guys, but especially these three that we're talking about right now. And thank you, guys. Thanks, Carl, and the rest of you. Thanks for giving me this opportunity. I really appreciate it.
You are more than welcome, Mark. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. All right, next up, Seti Manasse from Paliup, Washington. He was a junior college transfer, Northwest Athletic Conference West Region Teacher of the Year. At Tacoma Community College before he transferred to IU. His junior year, he was a consistent opener for the Hoosiers, giving some veteran leadership to a very young pitching staff. This season, he's been used in situations that really require strike throwing. Manasse has yet to surrender a single walk on the season while striking out 8 batters in 9 innings of work. His best outing has been a 3 shutout innings in last season's sweep of Ohio State. He also had a solid outing this season, which was important when the team traveled to Maryland, had gotten up big, and kind of needed to conserve some arms. They handed the ball over to Seti to keep things under control. And the biggest thing you want to do when you got a big lead is throw strikes, and that's what Seti does. We've also got Jack Moffitt from Seattle, Washington. For the season, this season, he has 20 strikeouts to 10 walks in 20.1 innings pitched. His best outing so far was against Troy on March 10th. He pitched 3.2 innings with no earned runs, two hits, one walk. He struck out four in that particular outing. Grad transfer from Gonzaga. Jack has sat out most of his college career due to injury, but he transferred to IU this season and was taught a completely new pitch in his arsenal, which not only is it a new pitch, but it became his go-to pitch during this process. And that's, and he said they basically turned him into a sinker ball pitcher, which he wasn't beforehand. So not only does he have a new school, he has a completely different pitching repertoire. And he's managed to come and have key outings like that one against Troy. All right. The last one we'll talk about here is a junior, but he has done well enough academically that he is going to complete his degree this summer, and that is Carter Matheson from Fort Wayne, Indiana. Matheson has joined a very exclusive club. 40 Hoosier home runs in only 3 years. Carter Matheson's part of that club. There is only one other member of that club, and his name is Kyle Schwarber. That's it. That's the list. And Matheson passed Schwarber in the series against Purdue. So Matheson is at the top of that very, very short list. Last summer, he was an all-star in the Cape Cod League. He racked up freshman honors in 2022. He set Indiana's freshman home run record, slamming 19 bombs, including the 19th in the middle of the night at the Chuck Box.
Oh, no. You went in.
Freshman All-American Collegiate Baseball Newspaper and Collegiate Baseball Newspaper and National Collegiate Baseball Writers Association All-American second teams. And he also made the 2022 All-Big Ten freshman team. And, we've been obviously following Carter Matheson, who's been a fixture on this team for years. And he's had some huge ones. We had talked about the Rutgers series. The one I remember, which I actually didn't even listen to. I wasn't able to follow this game. But just from a story perspective, and I got to ask him about it when we were in Omaha, is his home run in that crazy comeback in Terre Haute against Indiana State.
Yes.
And the thing was, he didn't start that game. That was a pinch hit three run homer that he hit because he'd been struggling.
That was so crazy, that game. Oh, man. What was the final, like 13-12 or something?
Yeah, it was nuts.
Eight home runs combined.
and Matheson, he got his name called because they said they gave him the day off, and they were rotating through, they were giving the guys the day off, but he had the day off, but he got his name called and had a huge hit for a big win. I mean, that is a big win to beat Indiana State at their field. Huge resume win, and that was awesome. And of course, we've been seeing what Carter has done, and we've seen his growth. We've seen him go from he really struggled last year out in the field to the point that he pretty much had the DH most of the year, but then he goes to the Cape. He plays center field. He focuses on that, and obviously it's a little bit different, kind of smaller fields, wood bats. But he also focuses on his fielding in the fall, and he's been, as Chris has tweeted multiple times, Two-thirds of the world is covered by ocean. The other third's covered by Carter Matheson. It's he covers so much ground out there. And you talked about the two fantastic plays he had just this past weekend in a big series. And crashing into the wall, doing all the things, those extra things. He's just been a joy to watch. And we'll continue to root for him in the season. We'll continue, and we're especially going to root for him as he, as he gets into the MLB draft here. And he's the one that's obviously the group that's completing his degree this summer. But we'd be remiss to say that there's a few other folks that we're going to be possibly playing their last series at the BART for various reasons, but the draft being, a big piece of the draft is there's a lot of obviously seniors, juniors, and even sophomore and Connor Foley that are going to be draft eligible, and are their names are out there for the draft. All right, speaking of professional baseball, we'll now transition into our professional and alumni section. And Chris, what have you picked up from Pro Ball Hoosiers in the last week and a half?
I tell you, at Pro Bowl Hooters is always all over it on that Twitter account. I got to say, he gives me my Cliff Notes. I just go right there, bing, bing, bing. I get what I need to get. Now, I follow it all the time, not just for the podcast, but I do go look at it for the podcast. I will not lie. Before I talk about these Pro Bowl Hooters, though, Carl, you kind of mentioned it, but I'm going to say their names anyway. I feel like Carter's standing out there for Josh and Brock, too. This class has really just been a pleasure to watch. And I don't know if it's the last game for Josh Pine or Brock Tibbetts or Carter Matheson at the BART this weekend. Carter, for whatever, I guess he's scheduled his classes different or whatever. From what I understand, he's going to be honored because of the summer schedule. But you know what? He's kind of standing up there for all three. I really, really like that this is their team. And I hope there's a lot more baseball left for the three of them. But either way, it'll only be Carter's plaque up there on the field. So it is what it is. For the Pro Bowl Hoosiers, I got Barriger, Caleb Barriger. We were just talking about him, not online, but amongst ourselves. Like, how is this guy not signed by anybody? But he has been signed by professional baseball. He was assigned to the AAA Minnesota Twins. And hopefully, you know what? We're going to see him in the majors, because every time he got up there for the Giants, he did well. We couldn't even figure out how he wasn't assigned by anybody. But I'm glad to see Caleb Barriger's name back as a Pro Bowl Hoosier, AAA style. Another one, Matt Lloyd, just hit another bomb yesterday. Five home runs, 21 RBIs. He's hitting 250. They love him. They continue to use him for all the promos and using him for interviews and the whole bit. And we know Matt. They're calling what are they calling Nick Mitchell the Hitman now? Well, you remember who the first Hitman was. Mercer kind of re-upped that nickname for those who've been here a little while. Matt Lloyd was the original Hitman that I heard Jeff Mercer talk about. But it's cool. Every few years there could be another Hitman. That's all right. But Matt Lloyd was the first one I ever saw heard coach call the Hitman. But
He also
yeah,
he
five
also
home.
he also called him Batman, though. That
He called
was
him Batman too. He did.
yeah.
He did. But, he kind of re-upped the Hitman for Nick, which was well deserved. I'm not saying that. But it's great to see Matt out there. And it might be weird, but the last home run clip that we sent out, when I was putting it on the Twitter feed, red top, white pants, running the bases, it was really looking like he was a Hoosier again. It was really wild. That sweet swing from the left side. But yeah, big time stuff. I think Matt's going to be, moving up, I would hope. I know Craig Yoho has been excelling with the Brewers organization, and it looks like we got a promote Yoho campaign coming from our Pro Bowl Hoosiers. So check that one out. Craig Yoho, has been doing his thing. Another one that we hadn't seen in a while, McCabe Brown. Okay, he got put down to rookie league, but it was because he was injured, right? So they're going to start him off slow in the Colorado organization. For those of you who remember McCabe, dude had nasty stuff when it was nasty. All right, it wasn't always nasty, but when it was, the man knows how to pitch, the young man. So hopefully we could see McCabe kind of move up through the ranks in the Colorado. But right now, oh, by the way, I'm glad Schwarber struck out against the Mets the other night. I was nervous We ended up losing anyway. But it's still weird to have to, like, root against Kyle Schwarber in the ninth inning of a game with Edwin Diaz on the mound. It's a whole thing. Whatever. But our best Pro Bowl Hoosier right now to speak about, I'd say, is Timmy Herron. Okay? He has really been excelling on the mound. Not only just, like, within his team. Like, he's not, like, the best guy in his bullpen. He's one of the best guys in American League bullpens, honestly. His agent actually, well, I can't give this one to Pro Bowl because this stat actually came out of his agent and from the Cleveland Indians. But here it is. There's two pitchers, only two in the American League that have 19 innings pitched, that have 20 strikeouts, and have either two earned runs or less. And Timmy Herron is one of them. So I think that's pretty impressive. He's already showed up on the Pitching Ninja a couple times. He got some, like, nasty pitches, a couple swords in the whole thing. So Timmy Herron has really been excelling. Kind of goes with our football theme, right? Wasn't he a football quarterback growing up? You know, was it Terre Haute? I think it
Terre Haute.
Was.
He's from, he's at, yeah, he's at Terre Haute,
weekend.
Yep.
Yeah, not a good weekend for Terre Haute, guys. But what can you do? We'll just have to root against Fegley and Skip and the boys. And you know, it is what it is. I know it's going to be strange, and I've had a bunch of guys contact me. Oh, skip this, skip that. Honestly, I was only here a year. My connection to – there's really no connection. I mean, it was 1 year. Yes, did I go to his garage sale when he was selling a bunch of stuff as he was moving? I did, but I just figured there'd be some cool gear there. But no, Skip and Raj were really cool to me. Even my first season here, I was going against my daughter, and, you know, kind of loud, and they kind of knew who I was, and I mentioned some stuff on Twitter to them. So I really want to say that it was a pleasure the way they welcomed me here to town. But on the other dugout now, so let's take down Michigan. Speaking of Big Ten games, we do have to talk about our pick 'em. I guess Carl's going to have the other picks. I'm not sure how much he has. But either way, he's going to kind of transition us to our final Big Ten pick 'em of 2024.
Yes, we're down to the very last week. Now I would like to throw in, when talking about Tracy Smith, is to your point, you just got to know that there is a conversation that has been had, whether it's in Ann Arbor or whether it's going to be at the hotel or whether it's going to be on the field tomorrow. And maybe on the field tomorrow when he's going to talk to his team and he's going to say, I built this building and I refuse to lose in it.
And I'd have to say that he did. The man did. It is the house that Tracy built. It is absolutely true. How the hell he got Fegley, Schwarber, Travis, and Dickerson to play in the high school field at Sambar, I will never know. But I'm sure he was a big fundraiser that puts us in our seats where we are now. Great point.
Yeah, but we know how Tracy can be, and he's quite good on the motivational piece. So
yeah, and I mean, that's,
we just need to be ready.
That's gold, and it's 100% true.
All right, but there are five other series that are going to be happening in the Big Ten, in our little internal competition, Josh has extended his lead to two series, so it's going to be a little tough. He's got essentially home field advantage down the stretch, and he's kind of extended that because he is picking all home teams but one. So you've got Minnesota at Northwestern. So Josh is going to take Northwestern. Penn State at Maryland. So he is – oh, I'm sorry. Take that back. Just the opposite. I'm sorry. I read that wrong. Josh is taking road teams. He's taking Minnesota – on the road over Northwestern. He is taking Maryland as the home team against Penn State. He's taking Illinois on the road over Purdue. He's taking Nebraska on the road over Michigan State. And he's taking Ohio State on the road at Rutgers. So he's got a 2-series lead on Zach. And I forgot to pull up Zach's, but I do have Zach's picks here. Let me pull them out. Okay, so Zach is going with Northwestern, Maryland, Purdue, Nebraska, and Ohio State. So let me see where he's going with. Okay, so he is going different with Northwestern. He agrees with Maryland. He is going different with Purdue. So we have two differences. So there is still competition.
Nice.
He is going Nebraska over Michigan State. That plays. And he's going
Ohio
State.
No one else can catch these guys, right?
Yeah, no.
So it's just them?
Yeah, you're three behind Zach. So,
I'm just double checking.
Yeah, you're three behind Zach. But yeah, so it's only a tie possibility. Zach can't win it outright, but he can catch if Northwestern and Purdue were to win at home, Zach could tie this up. All right, so Chris, what are your picks?
All right, as always, I am going to give a quick pitch to the Hoosier Ticket Project. It's our last weekend at the BART. We obviously aren't too sure about game time starts and weather, but, give some people an opportunity to go to a ball game if you otherwise aren't going to use your tickets. I know you might be out of town, or maybe you only had them during the school year and now you're not here. You know, you Google HoosierTicketProject.org. Somebody told me I said .com last time. That's my apology. It's .org. So it's .org. So my fault last time. It's a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your generosity supports the Hoosier Ticket Project's mission, increases their impact on the community, and gives the resources to send more families and kids to upcoming events. Now, obviously, this is the last home weekend for IU baseball, but, keep it in mind as come August and September as other sports start up, just donate the tickets. Let them be the middleman to get them to some families and people that really could use a little help to get to a ball game and fill those seats, right? We want our student athletes to have the best crowd possible. So obviously that's IU football, IU basketball, women's basketball, men's basketball. Really, you could donate for anything, Obviously some sports are free to get into, but really any sport that you have a ticket for that you purchase, you can donate. The free ones you get right when you walk up there, so those don't count. But, check them out. Use them if you can. And if you need a little assistance, they want you to contact them. They're asking you. They're saying, please call me, tweet me, email me. Tell me you need something. I got you. It's a real cool program, so take advantage of it. I like really, helping people out to get to some ball games that otherwise couldn't is really a big deal. I've used this platform for my Big Ten picks that have never been good for the years we've been doing this. So this year we're going to go for my final picks. I have the Boilermakers, the Gophers, the Nittany Lions, Sparty, and Rutgers.
So you want the Sparty again anyway. So
yeah. I like saying Sparty. I don't know what it is.
All right. In fourth place is Cassidy at 19. Sorry, at 22. Cass is tied with Chris right now at 22-17.
Whoa. You're telling me I could finish above Cass?
Yeah, you were ahead of her 2 weeks ago.
That didn't mean anything. Cass is like the champ back to back.
Yep.
We but have her picks yet?
Yes, we have her picks.
Let's go.
She is picking Minnesota, Maryland, Purdue, Nebraska, and Ohio State.
So Sparty and Rutgers take me home. Okay.
All right. I am one behind both of you, one series behind both of you, because I finished 4-1 last week.
Listen, Carl, I have never finished anything but last. If I could pull off a third place, forget it.
So the point is, I had that, that eighth inning down by seven home run last
week. That's called
week.
An A-Rod home run, by the way. That's called an A-Rod. Okay. Alex Rodriguez hit a bunch of those.
So my picks, I think almost all of us, we seem to all like Minnesota over Northwestern, but I'm also just going to call out that obviously this is the last regular season series for head coach John Anderson, who's had a phenomenal career, decades long as head coach of the Minnesota Golden Gophers. So hat tip to Coach Anderson in his final regular season, and he's trying to extend that season just a little longer, get them into the Big Ten tournament.
I hope they get in. I do, even though I heard he's a grumpy bastard. I won't say how I know that, but it might be from someone who used to work there.
But he's had a lot of success over
No,
the
I'm not saying
decades.
that.
I have a hard time picking against Maryland here. I just kind of think at home Maryland should be favored. I'm really thinking about this right now. Which way do I go? Illinois, Purdue.
Purdue is always that it's always your like major decision for years.
Right, and I always get it wrong. One way or
And
the other, I always
I
get it
hope you get it
wrong.
wrong again.
Well, we'll see. I'm going to pick Illinois. So I'm picking Illinois over Purdue on the road. I mean, obviously, I kind of want Purdue to take two out of three, but with the brain, I'm picking Illinois here.
But your brain has
Brad.
been wrong about Purdue for 3 years. So I'm happy because I took Purdue.
Nebraska over Michigan State. I think Nebraska is just better. They got better pitching. And then this was another tough one. But yeah, I think Rutgers is done, so I'm going to go with Ohio State as well. So that will conclude. That will be our last set of pick 'ems. We'll see how this all hashes out. There's basically a three-way battle for third place and a battle up at the top between Josh and Zach.
Some
So.
might say the major race is between me, you, and Cass.
It's kind of like that. It's kind of like just like the Big Ten. There's two different,
Thank
two different.
you. Thank
Yeah, there's.
you.
We're the ones trying to get into the tournament, and Josh and Zach are playing for a championship. So,
Agreed. Agreed.
all right. Well, that we've gone on quite a. This has been a rather long podcast, but we had a lot of really good conversations, especially about the seniors. It
No,
should
the
be a.
senior one's always a long one. People are
Yep.
used to
So the we're happy to do it. We love this team, we love these players, and anyone who's really part of the program. We didn't really just there may be other managers, you'll get a chance to see them when they get introduced, whether that's Friday or whatever day they happen to wind up doing the ceremony. But like Chris said, just follow up on both our social and the team social to about the schedule for this final week. And I'm going to try to continue to stay active when it comes to things around selection. If things don't go well this week, that may turn into, more of strategies for the tournament. But one way or the other, I'll be discussing things that deal with postseason in my social feeds. So thank you for listening to this episode of Talking Hoosier Baseball. For more on Indiana University baseball, hit up iubase.com. For Chris Feeney, and Mark Bennett, I'm Carl James. See you at the BART.